We continue to follow the activities of Class 15 of the Oklahoma Agricultural Leadership Program. On Friday in Southern Ireland, they heard from several speakers of the Animal and Grassland Research and Innovation Center of the Irish Agriculture and Food Development Authority. That included the head of the livestock unit, Patrick French, who talked with us afterwards about some of the efforts that they've got going on and the Irish dairy and beef industries. He says when you talk about profits, the dairy industry is clearly number one.
You were saying that as far as the profits are concerned for the Irish agricultural industry, the dairy industry is where there's the most potential and really is the most profit at this time.
Yeah, by a long way, the dairy industry, the dairy production is more profitable in Ireland because we are converting grass, which I suppose is a very competitive feed, and it's grazed grass in situ directly into milk.
So as you think about, you know, what you're trying to accomplish here with your research efforts, maybe give me a little bit of an overview of the Irish dairy industry and maybe the beef industry as well.
Yeah. Okay, so the Irish dairy industry, we have about 1.1 million dairy cows, and the industry is very much a seasonal grass-based system. It's quite, I suppose, unique on a global sense in that it'd be similar to New Zealand and possibly parts of Chile. Okay, in that very seasonal calving with all of the lactation produced from grazed grass.
And so you've got a tremendous amount of resource in that grazing land then.
That's it. I suppose our main resource is our land and our ability to grow grass. Because of our climate, we can grow a lot of grass over a long grass growing season. And that's what drives our system of production. Our dairy system then, as I said, is based around seasonal calving, with the majority of the cows calving in the spring, in the months of February and March, and producing milk over the long grazing season from early spring right through to late autumn on grazed grass, and generally being dry during the winter months fed on grass silage, that is surplus grass that is harvested during the main grazing season.
Now, you're sending most of the milk products overseas.
Yeah, we are a significant net exporter of our milk production. We have only about 3.5 million people, and we have just over 1.1 million dairy cows. So somewhere between 80-85% of our milk is exported. Because of our distance from the market and because of our seasonal supply, we produce long shelf life commodity products, primarily cheddar cheese, butter, whole milk powder, skim milk powder, and we also, that powder would be used quite significantly for infant formula.
So you were saying that the world's largest exporter of infant formula.
That's right. I suppose all of the major infant formula producers have a base here in Ireland, and we would be the largest exporter of that infant formula on a global scene.
So the bulk of it is really value-added exports then?
Yeah, well, we have to, I suppose, it's all processed. All of our milk is processed in Ireland. We don't export any fresh milk, so it all has to be processed into products. We would add significant value to the butter in the form of a brand called Kerrygold Butter, which is sold into the German market. The cheese, we would export primarily into the UK. And I suppose the other products, like the powder products, I said, quite a lot of it goes in as whole milk powder into Africa and into the infant formula industry.
Now, when we think about where the dairy industry is going in Ireland, there's a significant change in your dairy policy coming in the next couple of years. What will that mean to your dairy producers?
Okay, so for the last 25 years, since 1984, we have had milk quotas, which has restricted our output. In 2008, the EU decided they were going to phase out milk quotas and made a decision to phase out milk quotas between 2008 and 2015. So that is for the first time in almost 30 years, dairy farmers will then be able to expand. Dairying is by far the most profitable and competitive use of land, a significant use of land in Ireland. So dairy farmers, we expect, will expand production and are anticipating it. We have a strategy, a national strategy, to increase milk output by 50% between now and 2020.
What is that strategy?
The strategy is our Food Harvest 2020, which is developed by our Department of Agriculture, who have set out that strategy and have put actions in place to develop it.
And you were saying there were some specific things you think will happen by dairy farmers and through the policy process that will help increase milk production?
Yeah, so milk production, I suppose, increase will come from three or four significant areas. I suppose the first one will come from an increased milk production per cow, and that will come from a slightly longer lactation. In a cold environment, the optimum calving date and lactation length is shorter than in a non-cold area, so we will see slightly earlier calving and slightly longer lactations. And that's still quite short lactations on a global sense, in that we will move from probably a 260, 270 day lactation up to about a 290 to 300 day lactation, which is what we can manage on a grass-based system. Mm-hmm. The second area, I suppose, for a significant expansion will be on increasing stocking rate on existing dairy farms. So we will aim to grow more grass on our dairy farms. And if we grow more grass, we'll be able to carry more cows and produce more milk solids. And I suppose the third area of growth will come from converting of non-dairy land, which is primarily under beef stock, into dairy land. And that will increase the area available. And they're the three main drivers of expansion in the industry.
You're saying the key there on that third point is that dairy production is more profitable than beef production then?
That's right. I suppose beef production is at best very marginal here in Ireland. I suppose we are, again, a very significant net exporter of beef. We're the largest exporter of beef in the Northern Hemisphere, and we're exporting primarily into Europe, but in general it's not a very profitable business. Even at the moment with very high beef prices, because primarily of a low productivity. It's not a technically innovative industry like our dairy industry is, so they don't have the same productivity as the dairy industry.
So at this point, you see more opportunity. So it sounds like that our Irish agriculture maybe sees more opportunity in productivity gains, this type of thing for dairy.
Yeah, well, there's more potential, I suppose, for productivity gains on the beef side because they've had very little productivity gains over the last number of years. But it's because the dairy farmers are more technically innovative, they are significantly more likely to adopt the technology to increase productivity.
The grass-based system basically does have a ceiling as far as the practical number of cows on a farm, right?
That's right. On a grass-based system, obviously the cows are grazing the grass in situ in the field. Therefore, they have to obviously walk the distances. So we're never going to move to the large industrial-type dairy farms of thousands of cows because you physically just could not manage it on a grass-based system. We also, I suppose, have an unusual feature in Ireland is that land farm sizes are quite small here in Ireland because of the tradition and the history that we've had. Farm sizes are quite small, so it's quite difficult to operate big dairy farms on a grass-based system with small farms.
You said a lot of your research is based on the concept of a systems-based approach. What do you mean by that?
Well, I suppose what we mean primarily by that is that we're grass-based. And grass-based dairy production is unusual in that the dairy cow is interacting with the feed supply, which is different to on a feedlot type system, where primarily on a feedlot system you're focused on growing the crop as one discipline, and then utilization of the crop, which is primarily nutrition. So you have agronomy and nutrition are your two major disciplines. But in our systems, the cow is interacting with the feed supply. The cow is out there grazing it, and how you grow, how you utilize it on this occasion will have an impact when the cow comes back into the same field in 2 to 3 weeks' time. Our systems are perennial ryegrass-based intensive rotational grazing systems. We have a lot of, I suppose, work put into determining the optimum management of perennial ryegrass to optimize productivity. And I suppose because any changes that we make to any technology change that we make have implications for other things in the system. If we change the genetics of our cow to make it more fertile, which is a big driving goal for us, it means our cows will calve earlier. There are implications for how we manage grass when our cow calves earlier. So we have to understand how these things interact in a system, how fertility, how milk production potential of the cow, how the grass production potential, and how we manage grass, I suppose, is being the big driver. As we need to understand how all of these things interact in a system.
One other thing that you mentioned in regards to the dairy and beef industry, they are obviously related because of the male animals being born to your dairy cows, right?
That's right. I suppose our cows would be relatively fertile and would be having quite a lot of calves in their lifetime. Typically, our dairy cows have about 4 to 5 calves in their lifetime. And to obviously replace them, each cow only needs to bring on about one replacement. So the majority of the rest of the calves, which would be approximately half beef cross calves and half male dairy calves, would be sold into the beef industry or reared as beef animals on dairy farms. So about half of our total beef output originates in the dairy herd.
Regarding the beef industry, where are the opportunities to to go forward and make the Irish beef industry better?
I suppose it's primarily, again, about adopting the technology that's being used in the dairy industry. It's about growing more grass and utilising more grass and increasing the stocking rate to carry that and breeding a type of cow that suits a grass-based system. Okay. I suppose traditionally our beef industry would have focused very much on the market, which was a European market, and would have adopted European type of genetics. And that didn't work in the dairy industry, and it's certainly not working in the beef industry, because we need to have a beef industry that is based around seasonal calving and converting grazed grass into beef. And that's the only way we're profitable. We're a net importer of grain. We're a net exporter of both beef and dairy products. We are not competitive at converting grain into beef and dairy products.
You said, going back to dairy, one last question, and that is the fact that you are a low-cost producer of milk and dairy products. Grass gives you that ability, right?
That's right. I suppose because we are exporting onto a world market, and the world market is quite volatile, we are family farm businesses. We have to be competitive. We have to have systems of production that can cope with the volatility in milk price and generate a profit and an income for the families that are living off it. So that's what grass does. We can grow grass cheaply. We can utilize it cheaper than anyone else can utilize any other feed. And because of that, it gives us a competitive advantage. And the key drivers of profit on our systems are how much grass we grow and how efficiently we convert it into product. There are our two key drivers of profitability.
Your cost of production is what, approximately?
Our cost of production is, if you focus just purely on cash costs, our cost of production are about 60 to 70% of our output, which is of the order of 20 to 22 cent per litre of milk produced. Okay? In comparison to our milk price is probably of the order of 30, 31, 32 cent per litre. There are cash costs that are incurred, so it wouldn't include a cost for the farmer's own land and labor. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Patrick French, who's head of the Livestock Systems Research Department and Dairy Enterprise Leader at the Irish Agriculture and Food Development Authority. Reporting from Cork, Ireland, Ron Hayes on the OklahomaFarmReport.com.